They have the neatest family. It's their family. They have four delightful boys. They're young men now. And they have the best times with karaoke. They have a karaoke, as Barbara knows, and you guys know, many of you know, they have a karaoke machine going up there. And that family gets together and they sing. Is that wonderful? Is that grand? And you know, those boys are each one just elegant. They've never caused Andrew or Michael any trouble. They're just, it's a wonderful family they have. And, you know, Michael's looking older. But his wife still looks like a teeny bopper. And I don't know why, I don't know how that works. Do you, Charlotte?
No.
You don't know how it works? But
she had a picture.
She what?
She had a picture in the attic.
Oh, she does?
Even a Dorian Gray picture in the attic.
Oh, really? Oh, ho. Anyhow, this is his better half, Andrea.
So he gets to sing, I get to talk. It's the face cream. I have better face creams and wrinkle creams and all that. You know, men, they're just soap and water. So that song, it's funny because he didn't quite expand on it. We came in here and I grabbed a songbook and I thought, oh, let's see what's in here that he could sing. And I opened it up to My Way. And I thought, oh, he sang that. So Janie started looking and she's like, yeah. So he decided to do it. And we were sitting back here just before church started. He said, what's today's date? And I said, it's January 23rd. And it hit us both at the same time. Said, today's the day that your father passed me. 9 years. And was it 10 years? No, 9 years. And then he said, and I sang My Way at his funeral. And it was kind of like, wow, talk about divine intervention. Because we've gone through the whole day and hadn't even thought about it. So I think John had something to do with that. So, today I want to talk about that little tape recorder that we all have in the back of our head that goes on and on and on and plays negative and positive, but a lot of that negative. Proverbs 19:8 says, to acquire wisdom is to love oneself. One of the hardest things I think that we have to do on earth is to love ourselves because we have that tape. We all have areas in our lives that we feed. Worry, condemnation, self-consciousness, anxiety. All these little things that we think we're not good enough, we're not this, we're not that. Because somewhere in our line, somebody might have said, oh, you don't sing good enough, or you don't look good enough for this, or, you know, you're too this. And we take that and we put it in our heart and it starts that tape. You know, I want to sing, but somebody said once that I sang off key, so I'm not going to sing because I don't sing good enough. You know, somebody said once I wasn't pretty enough to be this, and that tape goes on. And we hold that tape like it's a gold medal of honor, and we walk around with it, and we think, it's ours. And we don't realize that that negative tape that keeps going on is keeping us from the joy and the peace and from truly living life and the life that we came here to live. And so we can't move forward. It prevents us from moving forward. But how do you get past that? I read a story about a woman swimming across the lake with a rock in her hand. As this woman neared the center of the lake, she started to sink from the weight of the stone. Drop the rock, shouted the people who were watching from the shore. But the woman kept swimming, now disappearing for moments at a time under the water. Drop the rock! The onlookers hollered on. The woman had reached the middle of the lake and was now sinking as much as she was swimming. Once more, people urged, drop the rock. As the woman disappeared from sight for the last time, they heard her say, I can't, it's mine. What thoughts are you holding on to for dear life that are making you sink deeper and deeper into the dramas of your life that aren't doing you any good? What tapes are going around and round? We're not born perfect. We didn't come here to live a perfect life. Our souls wanted to come to this earth plane to learn lessons. And the really cool thing about lessons is a lot of them are not easy. We didn't come down here to learn the easy things. You know, we came down here to learn the things that are going to help us grow, Look at some of the hardest times that you've gone through in your life. And if you can look through there and you can say, you know what, I learned from that and I grew from that experience. But what keeps us holding back is we carry that guilt in our head and that tape that goes on and on. And we feel like we have to carry that burden like that rock that woman carried, keeping her sinking. We keep that from letting us grow instead of being able to release it. And one of the hardest things to do is to release that. One of the hardest things to do is, how do you let go of that? I came up with something called the 4 A's today. And this I was really proud of for myself. I've talked about self-responsibility and being aware of your negative habits and being aware of those things that you don't like about yourself for years. I've talked about the awareness, how that's the first step. And I've never gotten past that. For years, I've said, you've got to become aware. And I'm aware, you know. And it's like that voice in my head says, you know you're aware of it. So I'm aware of this. And then I get angry or I get critical. And it's like, okay, how do I stop that? Well, I think I finally figured it out. Because it's been working. Number one, you have to become aware. Number two, you have to acknowledge that trait. That trait is a part of your personality. And when it comes out, it is screaming to be acknowledged. That's all anyone or anything really ever wants. Acknowledge me. Just acknowledge that I'm here. So you acknowledge it. You know, I acknowledge that I have anger problems. I was not even aware of this. And then when I became aware of it, it was like, all of a sudden I get angry. I acknowledged it, and then I realized, you know what, it comes from the frustration of not being acknowledged. I get angry when I'm trying to get a point across and somebody's going, no, 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 you're wrong, I don't want to hear you. That just makes me angry. So I thought, you know, that's okay, so you acknowledge whatever this is that's coming up. And then ask it, what do you need? What is your gift? What can we do to work together? When I get angry, what do you need when I get angry? Well, you need to not be frustrated. I need to learn to communicate my frustration without getting angry. And then last, you have to accept it. It's not good, it's not bad, it's a part of you. If you keep saying, I'm not going to look at it, it's going to keep coming up in your face and coming up in your face. How many have had this happen time and time again? It keeps coming up and coming up. It's kind of like the yin and yang, the positive, the negative. For every bad, there's a good. For every negative, there's a positive. You got a personality trait, anger, criticism, jealousy that we think is bad, negative. I'm a bad person for this. Well, you know what? There's a gift in that. So accept the wisdom, accept the gift. And then you can begin to integrate that into your life and use that anger or whatever it is, that trait that in the back of your mind has always been saying, this makes me a bad person. This makes me not better than anyone else. This makes me, whatever that tape is that's been going on in your head, you can begin to work with it and use the gift in it. And once you find that gift, it's amazing. Things start to change around. You start seeing yourself from a different point of view. I realized about 14 years ago that I was a very critical person. I realized this after I had just made the statement, oh, I'm not critical. I don't criticize people. I'm the least critical person you would ever be. I grew up in a very critical family, so I am not that. And I remember the minute I realized I was a very critical person, I was driving in the car. I had just dropped my youngest son off at preschool, and I was headed to school. And I'm driving, and this thing started going in my head, and it was like this light bulb came on. Oh my gosh, I am one of the most critical people you could see. I got that awareness. You know, what I didn't realize is that there's a gift in that criticism. And I didn't realize where the criticism came from. For me, I realized that it's kind of like, you know, that saying, misery loves company. Well, if somebody's doing something that I really want to be able to do, and everybody's going, oh, they're so good. You know what? There's that little voice in me going, well, they really are not that good. Yeah. Well, they did this wrong, and they did that wrong. And you know, sometimes I'll even say it. Well, you know, you sang that good, but, you know, there's always that but, you know, and that but kind of takes away the whole you did that good thing. You know, we always have to stick that but in there. It's kind of like, see, you're just as rotten as I am. And I thought, wow, does that make me feel better? No, it actually makes me feel worse. Makes me even feel like I'm even worse than I was, you know? So it's a self-esteem thing for me. When I'm being critical, it's because I'm lacking the self-esteem for that. So I say, okay, what can I do to not be critical of somebody? Well, realize that my criticism also is a gift to me. It helps me be able to see where things need to be organized better, where things can be more efficient. It helps me in my life. It helps me run things better. You know, and is that a gift? Yeah, because you know what? Not everybody can look at something and go, okay, you do it in this order. It's an organization. Not everybody can see you can do things efficiently. It's a gift. So I'm trying to use my critical part of me as the gift. And when I feel myself wanting to be critical of somebody, I take a deep breath. Where's it coming from? And I ask myself, is this going to make me feel better? Or is it going to make me feel worse? And if you can't say something nice, and don't say anything at all. You know what? If I have to just go and walk away because I haven't grown enough to say, that was really good, you know, then at least I didn't say, that was okay, but, you know, at least you just, but I'm finding that just being aware and acknowledging that and feeling that in me is really helping. So we have this tape that just goes on and on and on. Listen to what that tape is. You'll notice it comes up in your life. And when you start working on this, you'll notice that all these tapes that you have in the closet are going to start coming up too. You know, I've started doing some work on this, and I have things coming up going, whew, thought I had dealt with that, you know, and it comes up. But I'm using my 3 A's through it, and it seems to be working pretty good. But that tape is kind of like, we have a smoke alarm in our house, and it's very irritating, because you just fry bacon, you just do, and even when the fires were out, and, you know, the smoke, they would go off on that. And sometimes if I'm really busy in the kitchen, I just let the thing go. And that's what that tape is kind of like. It's like that smoke alarm going off and off and off. And I'm just trying to ignore it. It's kind of irritating me and giving me a headache, but I'm ignoring it. Finally, somebody will come in and go, why don't you turn that off? Well, because I don't want to walk the 20 feet down the hall and fan it with a towel to make it go off. That's just too much work. Is a tape in your head that's going off and off and off and keeping you from really realizing your full potential? Is it just too much work to go and fan that towel to make it shut off? Some things are. So thoughts are so powerful that they're energy, that they control what goes out in our lives. Our thoughts, that our negative thoughts that we're putting on ourselves, are they controlling what's coming into your life? You know, for years, I obsessed about weight. It's too fat, not skinny enough. Always worried about this. Watch what you eat, because you're going to be fat, I grew up in a family that was very particular about that. We'll just say that. So that was always the thing. And you know what that did to me? I was constantly worrying about my weight. My weight would just go up and up and up and up. And at some point, it kind of had to click that I'm worrying about something, and that's what I'm becoming. So what you worry about, what you feed, actually really comes to fruition. Patty Walsh gave a talk a few months ago at church, and she kind of said that thing, same thing. Kind of got ahead of myself here. She said kind of in a nutshell that what we give our energy to, our thoughts, is basically what will come about. And you know, I've heard that. I've read books, hundreds of books. I've done the meditations, and I've done the, what is it, where you say the same thing all over, keep saying it, affirmations and that. But in my brain, you know, it's like, you can say as many affirmations as you want, but if you don't believe it, you don't acknowledge it, it's not working. My brain knows more than that. You know, I can't lie to it. It's not faking it. So what Patty said was, what you give your thoughts to, what you feed, basically the garden you're watering in your mind is what will basically come about. And I'll tell you what, it was like something hit me that day in church. I thought, oh my gosh, we have this pile of bills that's every month, and then we have this pile of bills that comes up, you know, like the property taxes and the homeowners insurance, and that comes up every year. And this extra pile of bills just seemed to keep getting bigger, and it was like, oh, the money's not going to be here to pay it. And you know what? Every month, the money wasn't there to pay it. And I just kept feeding that the money's not there to pay it every month. And it kept getting worse, and I started thinking, oh my gosh, we're never going to be able to pay this. What's going to happen? You know, all these fears, and for months, these fears and fears. Well, that day that Patty said that, I thought, you know what? I am feeding that money will never be there to pay that. It was like this huge light bulb came on in my head. And I thought, well, so what do I do? So I got up the next day, and I said, God, I don't think I lost my faith. I just think I forgot about it. I forgot the trust that you said, ask, and it shall be given. Well, I've been worrying about this, and I have not been thinking about even asking for help with this. You know, I've kind of been begging for it, but not really asking, and all I've been doing is worry, 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 worry. But I said, you know what? I know everything's going to be okay. I'm not going to worry about that pile of bills anymore. It's just, I'm not going to worry about it because I know you're going to handle it. I know that it's going to be taken care of. Well, about 3 hours later, our accountant called us, and he had to go over our tax return with me about a few things. And he said, you know, you're setting well on your tax return. And I'm thinking, good, that means we're not going to owe anything. To me, you know, if we don't owe anything, I'm happy. So then we got done, and he goes, yeah, it looks like you're getting, and he named a number off, and you know what? That stack of bills went, goodbye. And it was like, you know, was that fast? To me, that was God's way of letting me know. You know what? It works. Feed the positive. Ask me for help. You know, if he's our parent. We go to him as our souls before we come down here, and we say, you know, I want to go down and I want to learn these lessons. And he probably goes, wow, that's a lot of hard lessons. Are you sure you want to do that? Yes, I do. Okay, well, I'm here to help you. Anytime you get stuck, anytime you need something, I'm here. Just ask. You know, you have free will, so you can do whatever you want. But as any good parent, I'm going to step back and I'm going to let you learn these lessons. But just ask. So we come down here, and I don't know what happens. It's like, whew, we forget. And we think, boy, my life is really screwed up. I've got this one lesson. I've got these terrible parents. I've got no money. I've got this. God is a mean guy. And you know what? He's going to torture me because he's given me one chance to come here and live. And it's like modern religion has made God into a psychopathic killer. Seriously, you're going to come down here, you're going to have an awful life because that's just how I am, and then when you die, I'm going to send you to hell and I'm going to torture you. You know, we kind of buy into this, and then all of a sudden we think, oh, you know what, maybe he's not. Maybe if we really do like he says and just ask, you know, he's just there. He didn't send us here. We sent ourselves here, but he didn't want us to come down here and be miserable. He wanted us to come down here and learn to be loving and forgiving and to become these light beings, these wonderful beings of love. We create our own hell on earth. He doesn't need to send us to hell to torture us. You know, otherwise, why would heaven sound so awesome? If he didn't love us, why would heaven be so cool? You know, streets of gold, and, you know, they talk about you could have buffets of food, anything you want to eat, or whatever it is that you want. You know, I always like that. Buffets of food, all that you want to eat. You know, food's my drug of choice, so doesn't cause any problems. You know, he wants us to be happy. He wants us to remember that he said, I'm here to help you. He wants us to do our best. And he's always there, but it's all those little things that go in the back of our heads and that continue, that tape, that keeps us from being able to grow, that keeps us from being able to move forward. And we all have them. You know, we wear that medal of honor, that gold medal, that badge. And we think, I'm special. I had a harder life than any of you. I've had this. I've had that. We've all had it. We all have it. Even the person that's had everything handed to them. We all have had it because we all bring it upon ourselves because we ask for lessons. But we have that tape that goes on in our heads. And it's time to shut the tape off, turn it over, and have it start playing a new tape. Something I realized about myself about 10 years ago was I have that internal tape, but I also have an external tape. Ever since I was a little kid, I always had these talks going on, and I always thought they were in my head. And one morning, my husband got up, and we were in the bathroom, and he went off to work. Bye, hon, and off he goes, and I got in, took a shower, and I'm out, and I'm drying off, and all of a sudden, I hear, who are you talking to? Well, after I about had a heart attack because he had come back home, he said, all I hear is you, and they're going, shh, 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 and he goes, and it sounds like you're talking to yourself. So that little voice that I thought was in my head actually comes out of my mouth. So I realized, you know, I have the internal talk, the dialogue, and I have the external dialogue that people don't hear. They just heard that. Shh, 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 shh. But, you know, I think it kind of keeps me sane because when I'm in that external dialogue, I'm not in my head dialogue, and it's really a positive thing. I come up with some of the best talks. I don't ever remember them, but it's like I give myself pep talks. And I found this out when I had the flu a few weeks ago. Mike said I got up in the middle of the night, I went in, and I got sick, and I came back to bed, and I was like, okay, you're going to be okay, you're going to be okay, you're not going to get sick, that's it, all's going to be well. About 2 hours later, you know, boom, I'm back in there, and he goes, every time you came back to bed, you're like, okay, that's it. Going to be better. I give myself pep talks. I don't realize I'm talking out loud. So, you know, think about what your internal dialogue is. What is your tape that's going over and over and over? And you're not going to stop them all at once. You're not going to change them all at once, but become aware of them. Ask them what they want. Accept them. Acknowledge them. I forgot to acknowledge. Acknowledge is actually one of the most important. You got to acknowledge it. It's like a little kid. Anybody that's got little kids, when that little kid has drawn a picture or has just done something or has something really cool to tell you, a joke, a knock-knock joke or anything, they will yell, jump up and down, get in your face. They want to be acknowledged. Well, let me tell you something. That's what anger and jealousy and criticism and all those things that are in the back of your head telling you that you're not any good, that's all they want, is they want to be acknowledged. They want to give you the gift and then they want to work with you. It sounds kind of weird, but try it. You know, just kind of go inside and ask to see it. You know, and be ready to see what some of these things look like. It's interesting. You've got to have this in a positive internal dialogue. So here's another thought. If all of our thoughts are connected, and thoughts are energy, it's kind of like if you're a Star Trek fan and you've ever watched Star Trek Generations, the Borg. You know, they say resistance is futile, we'll all be one consciousness. Well, really, resistance is futile, because the more you resist this, the more it's going to be in your face and in your face and in your face. So, be like the Borg. Realize that we're all one consciousness. So, if you think that your thoughts are only affecting you in a negative way, think about those thoughts as negative energy that's going out and they're affecting everyone else. Your thoughts, when you change them, to help you become the light, powerful being that you are meant to be, it gives everybody else permission to be that way too. When you can step forward into who you were meant to be, what you were sent down here on earth to be, then that gives everybody else permission to do that too, and it helps you shine bright. It doesn't mean you're egotistical. I used to think it was. I used to think, oh, if I really acknowledge all my good things that I do, if I acknowledge all that positive things, people are going to think I'm all puffed up. But it's not. One of the hardest things for me to do is to say, you know, I can do this good. Last week I said, you know what, I'll do this because one thing I can do is cook. And I thought, I almost put that butt on there. And I thought, no, you know what, let's change that dialogue. I said, you know what? One thing I can do is I can cook good. I know I can. Been doing it for years. I am a good cook. I have people that will attest to it. Now, that wasn't boastful. And it felt good. It was really uncomfortable at first, I'll tell you, because I've not been used to that. But it's just acknowledging the good within you. And if it's something really simple that says, you know what, I can turn a light on without knocking it off the shelf, then, you know, start small. But start finding the things that you do well. My husband can't do that. It's just because he has a nightstand full of goods. He's a techno guru. So watch that internal dialogue. Watch what it's saying to you. Look for the gifts. Ask for the gifts. And use those gifts. And I want to end with a poem by James Allen. It says, mind is the master power that molds and makes. A man is mind, and evermore he takes. The tool of thought and shaping what he wills brings forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass. And like a wise woman tells us, every Wednesday and every class night, watch your words, watch your thoughts, and watch your actions. Because they all come around together, and they all affect everybody. So watch that internal dialogue. Thank you.